Well, I appreciate that, brother, that we are looking for His coming. I was with a man this week, and he's a Christian man and a sweet guy, and somehow we were in conversation, and I mentioned about the coming of the Lord, and he said to me, well, you know, some of these guys that are preaching that we're in the end times, it somewhat bothers me. And I thought, what are you talking about? You know, to myself, and I wanted to find out what he was talking about. And he said, well, you know, I think there's a resurgence in different things. And I said, well, I believe that God does bless America. I think there's some wonderful things moving through this country. But at the same time, I think there's a great form of godliness that denies the power moving through this country as well, too. And I said, do you believe that Paul was a man of God? And he kind of smiled at me, and he knew. And I said, well, do you think he might have really known the Lord maybe as well as anybody? He said, yeah, I do believe that. And I said, well, did you know that he wanted to get back to Jerusalem because he thought the Lord was coming? He said, really? I said, yeah, really. I said, now that was way back then. He says, well, I think the Lord's thousands of years off. And I said, well, brother, I said, he may be, but I want to live as if he's coming today. That's how I want to live. Amen. And I said, and he might, and then he might stay away 1,000 or 2 years. But even though, again, we say my life's but a vapor and it's just a moment before I'm going to be with him anyways. And he said, to those that are loving and looking and longing for my appearing, I am going to appear that second time too. Hallelujah. And there's a reward for them. And it's going to be a wondrous reward. So I'm thankful for what he's convicted us to. So thank you, Jesus. Lord willing, this evening we're going to get into the book of Colossians. I wanted to give us a quick background on this wonderful letter to this church that Paul had written here. And this was to the city of Colossae. And that was a city that was within the Roman Empire, which we know today as Turkey. And the word Colossae has a twofold meaning. It means correction, which I'm sure most of you know, but it also means monstrosity. And I really, in studying this out, think it's so fitting that these two words are in this definition of Colossae. How the Word of God in Paul's letter is full of correction, as we'll see, but it's correction in love. See, there's a difference. It's in edification. It's in exhortation. And you're only going to win people and convince people and encourage people in the love of God. It needs to be truth in love. You leave out love and you go to the 13th chapter of Corinthians. Whether you have faith to move mountains, whether you have tongue of men and angels that you can speak awful eloquent, whether you give everything that you would ever have to the poor, I don't care what goodness or faith you have, without love it's profitless. So do remember that by the grace of God in our lives. So the first one again is the correction. The next one, you have to realize that when Paul wrote this, it was about 62 to 64 A.D. Yet within 10 years, this monstrosity happened. Monstrosity means two-headed. It means a house divided. And what happened in the city of Colossae at this time was there was this wonderful church and many believers in this church that were seeing the deep things of God. They were seeing the mystery of Christ that Paul had the dispensation to give them. But yet at the same time, there was a large insurgence of many different beliefs and religions and man's philosophy that was going on at that time. And it somewhat overtook that city. And within 10 years of Paul writing this letter, this city was totally destroyed by an earthquake. And I really thought, how fitting. A house divided against itself does fall, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Remember that in your own home. But Paul never personally spoke or met these Colossians. He never met these people. He came to know them through a wonderful apostle named Epaphras, who actually founded the church. But so wonderfully, Epaphras, as well as the church, submitted to God's will and to God's word. And he and that church followed Paul as he followed Christ. And this letter to the Colossians was written from the same place as the letters of the Ephesians, the Philippians, and Philemon. It was written in the Roman jail. Can you imagine that? Again, the joy book of the Bible, all these wonderful letters of love. And again, as we studied on Sunday, that day, this was Paul's day. This was Paul's day. Paul had to get, the Lord had to get Paul in that position, in that dungeon, in that solitude, in order to open up the heart and really give him the dispensation of what the Lord and the mystery of Christ was to be to these people. So again, when the Lord presses you out of measure, be ready for the wonder that he might be giving you in your life. Hallelujah. But again, the Holy Spirit gave him the words of love at this time. Kind of summarize the four chapters here. Chapter 1, we're going to read about Christ's person and his high calling and his indwelling. Chapter 2 is the warning against error, false teachings, man's philosophy. Chapter 3 will be the believer's union with Christ. And chapter 4 is true Christian fellowship in brotherly love. So Lord willing, let's get into the first chapter here in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. It's very plain and it's very clear as he starts this out. Paul, the apostle, he was the one that was sent forth. And if you're ever sent forth to do anything that's ever going to be a prophet, it's going to be by Jesus Christ. And remember that. Hallelujah. It was the will of God. It was the will of God that sent Paul. It's the will of God that it will put up what God wants, what put down what God wants. Whatever God wants to anoint or lift up or take down, everything is in its place. Everything is held together. Everything that even consists is of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? That's this meeting. That's your life. That's your livelihood. And as I was speaking again with a couple people this week, let Christ become your lifestyle. Not just here on a Wednesday night, not just here on Sundays or Fridays or whenever it is. Let him be throughout your whole life. It'll change you. It'll make the whole difference. It'll bring it all together. And that will be the walk of the walk in the Spirit that the Lord wants for each one of his children. But in this, may we always, as Paul is encouraging us, to be in God's will. To know when we are called to give out the word. And that's an important thing. Is always ready to have an answer, but allowing the Holy Spirit to give us utterance. There's wisdom in that. There's been times in my life I know that I've went in my own strength. Have you been there before? I have. And those words fell flat. But when you go in the power of His might, when you go in the utterance of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, talk about power. Power beyond. Talking to a man again this week. So wonderful him seeing the things of God, really getting excited about the things of God over the past 4 or 5 months. Lord has pressed him out of measure to get him in front of him, to be still and to know him. He says, well, I've come to a point, you know, I'm really understanding this. I'm seeing it, but I really want it to come in me. Holy Spirit. Need the Holy Spirit. You're missing power, my friend. And the Holy Spirit's the only thing that's going to give you that power in your life. He has been with you and he shall be in you. Hallelujah. And that is the power of his might that he wants us to have in here. And that's how we can be sent to preach God's word, is in the power of his might. But let's live, thy will be done. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. How's that sound? And then we'll get the full reward. Praise God. I remember Brother Hill saying many times about some of the different preachers he had met throughout his life. And there's a lot of preachers out there. As I was teasing you, you all are just wonderful. But at the first, when the Lord called me to preach, I didn't realize we had 30 or 40 preachers. But never mind that. Different comments and suggestions that you get. But I remember Brother Hill saying so many times that the ones that would say, oh, Brother Hill, I saw the big GP in the sky. Oh, you did you? Said, yeah, means go preach. And Brother Hill said, no, you didn't really look hard enough. It said, go pray. I don't know if you remember that, but I remember that pretty well. And remember to move at his command. And even as you're moving, as I again was visiting with the man this week, you're still and knowing that he's God. Listen to that voice. It's there all the time for you. And the voice is the Word of God. See that it aligns itself with it. But he also recognized his co-laborer here in this first verse. And I appreciate that about Paul. He encourages Timothy. He never takes the self-glory, but he emits love in edifying everywhere that he went. And I appreciate him thinking of his younger brother in the Lord. Verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is very important here. And I want you to notice that there is a difference. He's saluting and saying to the saints and faithful brethren. Well, saints are saints and faithful brethren are saints. But saints aren't necessarily faithful brethren. Do you see the difference that he's saying here? I hope you understand this, and I hope you see, though, that he's not excluding anyone out. But he is always telling it the way it is. Paul didn't beat around the bush with people. As Christians, we aren't to beat around the bush with people. By the grace of God, we stand in defense of the gospel. By the grace of God, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let your testimony be made known to man. By the grace of God, stand up. Stand and withstand for Jesus Christ. What a privilege. But again, Paul is writing to both. And all were holy in standing. Anyone born again is holy. But some were living faithful lives, well-pleasing to God. And again, I was thinking here, what is faithful? What is faithful? It's those that are full of faith. Full of faith. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it must be the ones that are full of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God is how we become faithful. Praise Him. And these were the corrected ones. I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, real quick, to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. And remember, the correction, the chastened ones. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And He scourges every son whom He receives. If you're being challenged, thank God, you're a son. So, it's like you've heard me say before, Lord, I appreciate you loving me so, but can you go love up on somebody else for a while? But verse 7 says, if ye endure. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. See, if you neglect it, if you reject it, if you don't want the sufferings, if you suffer with Him, you're going to reign with Him, huh? Oh, hallelujah. That's what, by the grace of God, we're about here. We're joint heirs by the grace of God if we will suffer together with Him. But if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. So shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And praise God, this verse, this chapter, this whole letter is encouraging us to accept the chastening and grow. To accept the chastening and grow. It's a hard thing. Let me tell you something. I know a lot of Christians that really don't want to go on, and they seem to be living some pretty nice life. It seems pretty comfortable. Do you want God's best? See, I don't want to get bogged down in the suffering. I don't want to get bogged down in the chastening. But you know what? You're going to have to face it. It's going to be there. Whom He loves, He chastens. And He loves His children. And we're getting a dispensation in this place. We're getting a revelation of the mystery of Christ. I was talking to a brother again this week, and it was so precious to me, the encouragement that he gave me. He said, you know, brother, we really are in the days of Paul again, where all in Asia had forsaken him. They didn't want to hear anything more about his dispensation. They didn't want to hear anything about the mystery of Christ. Where is Paul in the churches today? Where is he? Where is this preached? I'm back to facts. Like I was saying about Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods or whatever, they're the best. I'm not going to argue with you on that one. I don't think many people would. But this is fact. We're talking the mystery of Christ. We're talking the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're talking about an out resurrection to be prepared to meet the Lord in the air. This is what this thing is about. Yet where is that preached anymore? Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see where the Word of God is getting us to? As that man said, you know, I don't like to hear about the end times. Sure, you don't like to hear about the end times because you're not ready. It would scare me too if I wasn't ready to meet Him in the air. Now, I don't say that boldly as I have attained something, but by grace, I trust Him that He's going to give me the faith, that He's going to be the author and the finisher of my faith, brothers and sisters, and you too, that we are going to be prepared to meet Him when He comes. And that's going to be a joyous time. And it's just like I was telling him again, and you've heard me say this before. It's not because this old world is so junky, even though sometimes I think it is kind of junky and a lot of the people in it are pretty junky anymore. But you know what? It's like if I was going to marry some lady and the only reason she wanted to marry me was to get out of her bad house because she didn't like her parents. Now, what kind of a marriage would that be? Wouldn't be much of a marriage, would it? I want the bride that's going to love to be with me. I want the kind of bride that's like a Rebecca, that had that precious home life, that loved her family, that really wanted to be with her family and say goodbye to them and all those different things. But it was, no, you got to go now. And she went because she loved the message of Eliezer that was telling her about this wonderful man that she was going to go to marry. Can you imagine that? That's what you're being called into tonight. That's what we're being called into to this place, is to come in love and expectation of the wonder that He's going to make known to all that He has loved us. That's got me sold. I love that. I love that it hadn't even entered into my mind, my heart, my thought, what God has prepared for me, because by His grace, I love Him. How's that? That's pretty good stuff. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. That's my Lord. Praise His name. But notice here, it goes on in the second verse. It says, grace be unto you and peace. That's very important. It's incredible. Because without grace, you will never have peace. And grace will always bring peace. I was visiting with a brother this evening before the service here. And I said, I appreciated this one little movie I saw recently. I said it encouraged me. And one of the things that encouraged me is one of the symbolisms or imageries or things that it was trying to state in the movie was it can never be taken away from you. And what it was this person was put on the throne and it was a vision of heaven and it can never be taken away. And I said that thrilled me to think that this man saw eternal security. That once saved, you are saved. That nothing can separate you from the love of God. See, the reason that encourages me is because that life's got a chance. You know why that's why life's got a chance? Because it saw that grace. Do you see what I'm saying? See, if you're caught into legality, if you think that you can lose your salvation, you can't grow from there. It's not going to happen. Because the only way we can grow by the grace is by the grace of God. The Word of God tells us that we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without grace, it's never going to happen. And if I am always worried about losing my salvation, I'm not living in freedom. There's no liberty for me, and I'm not living in grace. I'm living in fear. I'm living in something that I think I need to keep. Well, that's the opposite of what grace is. Grace is a free gift that was given. It's not something that's given and taken back. It's yours. You see the difference? And that's what grace is to our life. By that acknowledgement, that gives me hope in my life as well as the life of a Christian I meet. At least there's a chance of that thing really growing up into everything in Christ Jesus. And that, again, encourages me. But this, again, this grace is the sufficiency for the day of trial. And how precious, again, that this book, this letter, is about correction. And we do need the sufficiency for that day of trial. And it's often going to hurt, as we read there, about how it doesn't seem joyous at the time. But His grace is sufficient to bring the peace, and grace that is brought by the Lord Jesus Christ is always the lasting and true and sufficient grace that gives us peace. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I love our Lord. Praise His name. Verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And I appreciate this. Paul was a prayer warrior. Let that be an encouragement to us. The greatest and most powerful tool that we really have in the Word of God is prayer. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Prayer changes things. Prayer, I'm telling you, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I'm telling you. The Lord loves to hear our petitions to Him. He wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace, to obtain that mercy, to get that grace, because we're a needy people. That's what a prayer is. It's a need. And we all have needs. I'm not talking about wants. Sure, we have wants and desires. But I'm talking about the need. I'm talking about the need for more knowledge to get to know Him better. I'm talking about the need for more love so I can get to love you all better. You understand that? See, it's brotherly love that's going to win it all. It's a love match that's going to bring us through that finish line, brother. That's exactly what it is. We can have all the head knowledge we want of this, but if it's not in love and effectually working in our life, it's going to be profitless to us. The love, I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk about love, faith. It's love by the grace of God. But He had that wonderful prayer going for these brothers and sisters in Christ of like faith. And how just the thought of them, and I think you heard me mention it Sunday, one of the things that was so encouraging about listening to this, reading this and listening to the Lord speak to me on this was, you know, how we talk about those coals, we need to be together. That's the much the more as the day is approaching. You know, get the fellowship. We need to be around each other. It's encouraging. But at the same time, I was thinking about, like I say, Jerry and Arlene, and I had breakfast with Bill and Colleen Slater the other day, and that was sweet before they went back home. It was just wonderful, the love of God in those lives and how on fire they are for the things of God. And you know what it is? It's the remembrance. It's the prayer. It puts us in unity of the Spirit, even though we're miles away. Do you believe that? I do. I do. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul was getting right here. He was on fire for the Lord because of the love of these saints, because of the faith, because the spiritual love, the love in the Spirit that we're going to read about this. This encouraged Paul. And by the grace of God, this needs to encourage us. I hope that we wouldn't just sit by when we hear of others being anointed and encouraged in the Word of God, that it wouldn't move us. I mean it. That we would thrill. I love to hear from Brother Hawkins. I love to hear from Brother Smith when they call and they say, you know, brother, we're just doing wonderful out here. Brother Smith, you know, sometimes he calls and he'll just say, well, you know, we're kind of out here all by ourselves in the sticks. But the Lord's with us and He's good and He's got me thinking of you today. Isn't that awesome? That's the love that won't let us go. Hallelujah, that we can share. And that's the, again, such an encouragement for such a man of faith. And that, again, is by the grace of God. But now, going into the next four verses. Paul's going to commend them for five great things in their life. And obviously, five speaks of grace. And they're all by grace. And I think how fitting, again, that he uses five here. But those five things are going to be faith, love, hope, the wonderful fruit, and then finally, again, he brings in love, but it's love in the Spirit, and that's going to be a special love. I don't know if we'll touch on that tonight, but those are the five things. So let's get going in verse 4 here. It says, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love which ye have to all the saints, and we'll stop it there again. See, faith. Faith pleases God. It's impossible to please Him without that wondrous faith. And that's the faith that always is in Christ and nothing else. See, the world preaches many faiths to us, doesn't it? It says have faith in your job. It says have faith in your relationships, doesn't it? It might say to have faith in money. And especially it says to have faith in is yourself. The Word of God says that there is but one faith, and that's the faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters, when we can get really, by the grace of God, our hearts directed in that faith and in that gold mine and in that reward, it's going to be amazing the power of God that is going to dwell in our life. It is. Because it's all knowing. It's knowing, like we said on Sunday again, knowing that He is. That He is my salvation. That He is everything to me. That He is for me. That He loves me so. That He is always making intercession for me. You think about what the Word of God tells you if you can really get into it and read this and believe the Word. He's for you. He is so for us. It is so wondrous that His every thought, this great I am, this Creator of the universe, is for me. That's how personal Jesus Christ needs to be to you. And if He's not that way, He's never going to be real like He wants to be in your life. It's not going to happen. Thank you, Lord. But again, this faith is so precious. And next is the love. This is the love that the Word of God encourages us to have, because faith without love is profitless, like we'd already mentioned. But faith begat in love is divine. It's God's own love and His Son. And faith love, which is Christ's own love, always loves all saints. Did you hear me? How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What is faith love? It's love in that word. It's the truth in love. It's everything to us. And how is it shed abroad in our heart? Again, it's from the Holy Spirit. And who is going to lead us into all truth but the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. It's laid out for us, isn't it? It's a blueprint. It's not some... Sure, it's called the mystery of Christ, but it's simplicity in Him when we just get into the Scriptures. Rightfully divide the Word of God. Again and again and again, I say, as I meet these different people, and in love, not in anything that you're better than someone. I really have been burdened on my heart to encourage myself and others as well, too. This is such a wonderful relationship, a wonderful dispensation, revelation that we've been brought into. Don't think you're better or you just missed it. You did. It's love. You want people to come. You want people to taste this. Love comes out. It's within and it comes out of you. Because Jesus Christ, I'm just telling you, when you get Him in, how can we not but preach the Word? How can we not but tell others about Jesus Christ? How could I not get up here and by the grace of God, when Colossians is just screaming out the mystery of Christ and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, how could we ever not, by the grace of God, touch on all these things that Jesus wants us to be as man and wife with Him? That's the wonder. And thank you, Jesus, that He has given us that strength and stand to stand for this wonderful truth. But again, love alone cannot love the unlovely, but it's going to take the faith love. And that can, oh, hallelujah, amass a wealth that wins the throne. Now, the last of these first three, we have faith, we have love, and the next is hope in verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the Word of the truth of the gospel. And this is such a wonderful verse. This is the hope of the exceeding riches of His grace in heaven. And again, this is no ordinary hope. This is the hope of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' hope. We have the wondrous hope in Jesus Christ, but this is the hope as Paul had, to rule and to reign jointly with Jesus Christ. Is that truly our hope? I mean it. Is that really our hope? Any more you speak with Christians, and again, it was like the man that I was visiting with this week. They're not looking for the Lord to come. I think they acknowledge for the most part, well, when I die, I'll be with Jesus. I want to look for the Lord to come. I'm looking for that day. I'm looking for Him to catch me away. That's the bridal love, guys. It really is. When you're looking for Jesus in that way, I really believe you're stepping into a bridal love for Jesus Christ. Because you know that He's coming. You know that He can't wait to get here. You know that He's at this moment even say, God, can I go get Him today? Can I go get my love today? That's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that is the hope that we're talking about here. And again, where did they get that hope? It's in one place. It's not in works. It's not ever going to be in good thoughts. It's not going to be in deeds. It's not going to be in the enticing words or prosper and be in health, which is really what you're hearing today anymore in all these pulpits. No, it's not there. Where is it? It's in the Word. And it didn't stop there, did it? It's in the Word of the truth. But it didn't stop there, did it? It's in the Word of the truth of the gospel. Hallelujah. And more specifically, this is Paul's gospel. Like we've already touched on this evening. Now, people will come in that don't understand this in some ways, and they say, well, wait a second. Are you worshiping Paul? No, we're not worshiping Paul. Paul is a brother in Christ. That's exactly what Paul is. Mary's a sister in Christ. That's what Mary is. And that's a wonderful and awesome thing. Don't get me wrong, okay? But by the grace of God, we can attain to the same calling of Paul, which is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the Word of God tells us to follow Paul as he followed Christ. I'd like to remind you again of Romans 2:16, if you would turn over there with me. I think it's good for you to read it instead of just quoting it. That's Romans 2:16. And there's many other verses. We had a sermon not too long ago regarding this. In the day, and that day's coming, when God is going to judge the secrets of men, by who? By Jesus Christ, according to what? This is Paul speaking here, to Paul's gospel. Something came here, didn't it? Something came. It's not that it changed. It's just that it got better. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But see, something had to happen. And when Jesus Christ went to be with His wonderful Father, the Holy Spirit came. And it said, now I'm going to tell you something, guys. I don't want you panicking, my disciples. But you know what? He's been with you, and He shall be in you. And when He comes into your life, then you can be led into all truth. That's what we had been given. That's what we have been given. And you're going to get power because it's going to come from above. And it's been around you and it's been upon you. And now it's going to be in you. See, we have the power to defeat the enemy in our life. Do you realize that? Do you realize that we have the power by the grace of God to be in the perfect will of God? The perfect will of God. That's a mighty statement. And I know we're sitting there going, what in the world? There's no way I could be in the perfect will of God. Yes, you can. And by the grace of God, if we'll step, as we're talking about this week again, this last Sunday, step in faith and say, Lord, I will go. He'll do that work in your life. He'll bring you the perfect will of God. And He will. And it's a promise. Again, we need to forget those things which are behind. I don't care how good you've been. I don't care, in a sense, how wonderful you followed the Lord yesterday. It's about today. See, God has bottled up all that. Even a cold cup of water given in the name of a prophet, it's got its reward. He's got it all down. He's forgot all that ugly sin. He can't even remember it anymore. It's a wonderful thing, but it's today. And today we can make that decision by the grace of God. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to please you. I want to get into the things of God that is going to take me on in life. I want to grow up and to be all pleasing in you. I want to magnify Jesus Christ in my life. Huh? You think we're going to go? I know we're a little weary tonight. But again, this is what He's calling us to in this wonderful book of Colossians. I'd also like to just remind you, we're going to jump ahead a little bit, but thinking of what Paul had been given, look at chapter 1 here of Colossians and go over to me to verse 25. It says, wherefore I am made a minister. This is Paul speaking of himself again. This is Colossians 1:25. Whereof I am made a minister. According to the dispensation or the revelation, and as we read that, the divine order, the divine arrangement. Do you remember that sermon? That dispensation means the divine arrangement of the ages. That's what Paul had been given. This is the same thing he's talking about right here. It's the mystery of Christ. I'm getting ahead of myself by two verses, but you're going to see what we're talking about. But it says, I am made a minister according to this dispensation of God, which is given to me. For you. It was given to Paul. How many times over and over do we have to realize it was given to this man? God had great grace upon us, but it had to be given to somebody, and it was given to him. For me. to fulfill what? The Word of God, the complete plan. This had to be given. Creation groaneth for the manifestations of the sons of God. Until he who hinders is taken out of the way, this thing ain't going to happen and it ain't going to get started yet. You didn't realize how important you are, did you? I get excited about this stuff. This is the real deal. Even the mystery, which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. Now think of what appeared to Abraham. Think about what's been given to Moses. Think about what Ruth saw. Think about what Elijah had. Think about what Elisha had. They didn't have this. It wasn't made manifest to them. I could read about this over and over. And you know the Word of God? He knows that we're kind of dumb and lame. You better realize you are. And He has to encourage us over and over and over again, doesn't He? Hallelujah. But it's now made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. Had Christ been in these people? Sure He has. And sure He had. But this is different. It's the hope of glory in you. And there's a lady that's got a glory. And she's seen coming down from heaven. And her name is New Jerusalem. And it's real. She's the bride adorned for Him. Why me, Lord? They don't want to hear doctrine, do they? It don't get the crowds. But I'm after to see Him in the cloud. How about you? It's going to be worth it all. It's going to be so worth it. We may not be honored or praised by men very much, and sometimes ridiculed and thought stupid. But He's going to make known who He loved. And make no doubt about that. You think when we get to heaven, we'll kind of look at each other and say, I told you so. I told you so. Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm sorry. But I just love Him. Oh, man. Oh, man. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with just a couple thoughts. I was thinking when Brother Hill had even said a couple times, and I had to laugh as I was thinking back over it. It's like baking an apple pie. You know, you could leave out the crust. What would you have? You could leave out the sugar. What would you have? You could add salt like Sister Hill did. You'd have kind of an upset husband, wouldn't you now? That's what you'd have, but never mind. But it wouldn't be complete. Would it? It wouldn't be right. We'll turn over to Colossians 4:12. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you. Oh, this is getting to be deep. He's a servant of Christ. He salutes you. This is speaking to us. I hope you get this. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This is what we're being invited into. This is what God can make of us. You understand there is no way that you could do this. I understand there's no way that I could attain to this complete and perfect in everything, in all the will of God. It's not some of it. It's all the will of God. Do you see? That's the greatest thing about this. It's the grace of God. And I love it because it's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, isn't it, sister? He didn't say, I'm just going to let you have some of the will of God. I want you to have all the will of God. And I don't want you to just stand complete in it. I want you to be perfect in it. That's what he... I just can't... I wish I could show you the hair standing on the back of my head. I just marvel at this stuff as he just lets you read it. See, without aligning or feeding our lives with all the word of truth of the gospel by his grace, if we don't do this, we're going to miss his best. It's going to be good. Don't get me wrong. Jesus is good. Salvation is so good. But as we read in Hebrews, he's talking about that complete salvation. Completely set apart unto God. This is in quietness when he whispers to us that we would walk worthy of him. Again, and this, by his grace, he's saying, look, Epaphras, he's one of you. I salute him. I send him to you by the grace of God. And God sent both of us through his Son, that we all may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, and by his grace, again, that is only brought to us by Jesus Christ. That's a wonder. Now see, that's why I get excited about Colossians. It's correction, but it's encouragement. You see, a lot of people get excited about the word criticism. Criticism actually can be a good thing. Did you know that? It doesn't have to be negative. Paul is encouraging us here. He's setting the stage of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's bringing back, as he brought out in Ephesians, about the mystery of Christ. We're going to read, by the grace of God, it's about love. It's about the bond of perfectness, which we've been preaching on by the grace of God in this meeting. It's the finishing touches. In chapter 2, again, he's going to tell us, he's warning us, beware of man's philosophy. I'm telling you, beware of what they're telling you out there. Search the scriptures to see if these things are so. It's prosper and be in health. It's get rich. It's pull yourself out up by your own bootstraps. You got to be the man. I can tell you exactly what these psychiatrists are telling you. You know why? Because the Word of God told me how many thousands of years ago, this is exactly what they're going to tell you. There's nothing new under the sun. Man just puts a different spin on it. I hope you understand that. And that spin is so important because if you're in the world and you're going to be ruled by sin, your life is just going to spin. You're never going to get out of that cycle. You won't do it. I'm just telling you. It may look different. You may commit to yourself. It's going to be different this time. I'll assure you, you'll wind up back in the same place, except you'll be deeper. And you can get yourself so far away from God as a Christian that you'll condemn yourself so that you don't think you could ever get back. Now, God forbid we go there. God forbid we go there. It's high calling time. He said, I want all men to be saved. Oh, yeah. But this is full knowledge time. And you know what? You've had the privilege to be born in full knowledge time. Think you can say hallelujah and amen to that? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, again for bringing us together this evening. We thank you for the love of God in this place. We ask again that we would magnify you and you alone. We thank you again that your Holy Spirit has anointed this word because by your grace it's been brought in love. Help us to be sincere in this. Help us to be diligent in seeking your best. Help us again to be as those wonderful Berean saints that we may even be encouraged to go home and to search the scriptures for our own. Encourage us in you and in your wonderful love. In Jesus' name, amen.